This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Yeah, you know what? The difference between 40 degrees and 20, I mean, you walk outside in 40 degrees and you're okay for a while.
Yeah.
And then you go out in 20 and you're like, okay, I'm like the dogs. The dogs even go out and they're like, I'm done.
I think it depends on the wind for me.
Yeah, well, it is.
Because in a weird way, after it snows, even if it's like 20 degrees,
yeah,
if it is dead still out, it almost feels nice. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
But there's like a bitterness to the cold,
yep,
when there's wind involved that makes it not at all nice.
Well, I totally agree. All right, it is The Drive with Sam Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. When I was young, we were lucky enough, we had two snowmobiles growing up, the old John Deere 440s. And in 1978 is the year we got them, and if you kids weren't born yet, but we had epic snowfall that year. Epic. Like, it's gone down as some of the biggest in the history of Illinois. And there were times, Trevor, to your point, where I would come home from school, and I would, well, you guys will laugh at this, but I would have shorts, snowmobile boots, and I would be like covered head to toe up top, but I'd have shorts on, and we would go snowmobile because it seemed like it was, I mean, it felt like it was 70 out,
yeah,
when in reality it was like 20. I think that happened like twice, and my mom was finally like, if you do that again, you're not riding snowmobiles.
So his name is Pete DeNovo.
DeNovo.
And he owns a company called DeNovo Golf Carts.
Can we get him on?
Sure.
I think that'd be a great interview to have Pete on and just chat. Who are we going to get on yesterday?
Well, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Followed up with Pete DeNovo.
How about that for a show?
He played at Central Florida before he left the team. He's eligible immediately, which is when people went, what?
Yeah.
Because that was when Chase Crouch switched from quarterback to tight end.
Well, that's right.
So you had this guy who's immediately eligible, and you're like, I don't know anything about him, but that sounds intriguing. And then 10 days later, he's no longer on the roster. He owns a golf cart business.
Boom. Well, good for Pete. He's an entrepreneurial guy. Entrepreneurialist? How do you do that? Oh, I don't even know the word.
Entrepreneur?
That's it. Why am I trying to add ist or earl to that? I have no idea. What started that is Trent Frazier. You're going to hear from him in a minute. There's like bouncing basketballs behind him. And I said, it's equivalent to in football, the old golf cart that always backs away and goes off while we're trying to talk to the kids. All right. You had a chance, Derek, today to talk to some of the Illini players. Let's mix that in with drive time. How about that?
Sounds good.
Let's do it. I promise we're going to do it. I swear.
You sure about that one?
We're going to do it.
Start it up.
Yeah, there we go.
Honda BMW Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy and online at drivechampaign.com.
All right, Illinois does play Michigan tomorrow night. Not an easy task, and the schedule makers, once again, not that friendly to Illinois as they start the Big Ten season with a road trip to number 3 Maryland and a home game against, what are they, 5th?
Number 5 Michigan.
Number 5 Michigan coming in. So has
not expected to be there, though, to be fair.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Has Michigan, are they 1-0 or have they played a game yet? I don't think they've played a Big Ten game yet.
They beat Iowa 103-91.
That's right.
I was going to text you guys, Luka Garza scored 40-some in that game.
I know.
They went for 44 and they lost.
Oh, my. And I just couldn't stop staring at the eyebrow. Just the one eyebrow on Luka Garza. That thing is awesome. Well, he's good, but yeah, Michigan's going to score points, man.
They had 6 guys scoring double figures.
Wow.
And freshman Franz Wagner went for 18. Teske, 16. Brandon Johns off the bench had 12. Eli Brooks had 13. Livers, 14. Xavier Simpson, 16. And I think he leads the country in assists.
Balanced. Is the Johns kid, is that a kid that Illinois was trying to recruit?
He was. He did have an offer.
From like Minnesota or something?
It's from Michigan.
Or Michigan, okay. I remember
athletic
that name.
Forward from Michigan.
You were able to talk to the guys today. We'll hear from Trent Frazier in a minute. What? How are they feeling? I mean, after coming off 2 unbelievable, heart-wrenching losses, I don't know how you get that out of your head and move on to the next. I honestly don't.
Yeah, they did say that obviously looking back, they played some good basketball.
They did
some good things, and of course they're going to say what fans don't like to hear as well. We just didn't make shots. And they know they got to close better. Trent Frazier said we got to figure it out. We spent a lot of time in practice trying to get some new looks and different ways to obviously execute and get good shots. But overall, they're happy with their defensive effort, and they know that it's a big game against Michigan. Can't spend too much time regretting the Maryland finish because obviously Michigan is going to come in and be ready to play.
During a 40-minute game for Illinois, how often do they run a set play, do you think? I just hit the button.
They have sets as far as they're going to run either the spread or they're going to run dribble weave.
Okay.
But as far as just like a certain play,
probably not often.
Not a ton.
Okay. And that's kind of what Trent was talking about today in terms of getting something on the books. So, I mean, more than anything, it's because, you know, the anxiety of a late second, all of a sudden you got the ball with 12 seconds left and you're tied after Anthony Callen just drilled a 38-footer. Now all of a sudden what you want in your mind is to say, okay, well, let's run, you know, hop out. I don't know what you call it, but it's more for the anxiety of a late game situation to know exactly what you're doing to where maybe during the, you know, I could see how you run sets out of timeouts.
Yeah.
Maybe run sets out of inbounds plays underneath your own bucket. I'm sure there's different plays they run for that get open looks either inside or out. And then you would think you would have sets for late in the game, whether in any situation. If we're tied, this is what we're doing. If we're down one, Io, don't walk the ball up the court. You got to get a ball to the rim. You know, if you're down two, here's what we need to do. If you're down three, here's another play. It's going to break open a three. So I would assume more than anything for the anxiety of the late game, I would expect them to have plays, and it sounds like they're now working on that stuff.
Yeah, Underwood said with the Feliz take, there was – trying to get him to the rim, and Maryland
That's fair.
Had fouled enough to where they were in the bonus, yep. Illinois was, and if he drew contact and was able to get there, then obviously you're on the free throw line. What I would have liked to seen is different options.
Mm-hmm.
If this isn't there, you can go somewhere else. There's other actions off the ball where it really was one high ball screen with Georgie, then Maryland just switched it.
Yeah.
Georgie's standing at the top of the key, other guys are standing on the perimeter, and Feliz is trying to make something out of nothing.
Right.
And there's nothing else to where, okay, they stopped the Feliz drive, now what?
That's
and
fair.
There was nothing else.
Yeah, and that's where you have to have options. You got to have a guy like Feliz that can take it down the court. And let's be honest, he's really good at that. He's really good at getting the ball low. And he did it against Maryland in the second half. He probably had, what, four straight points and maybe six in the second half where he drove down the lane, used his strength to get a layup up and make it. And, you know, and that's the other thing. He's making layups this year. Remember last year it seemed like they missed a ton of layups.
Right.
But they're getting the ball to the rim and they're going in. And even Kofi in that game against Maryland a few times where they would just lob the ball
that's
in.
That's it.
I mean,
early on, that was.
You can't stop it.
Very, very effective off the ball screen. He's rolling down the lane. And that's why I would have liked to see the screen set instead of by Georgie,
yep.
by Kofi, because then they switched it. So a guard was on Georgie. If that's Kofi, a guard is on Kofi. And he rolls, because Georgie just sat at the top of the key. If Kofi rolls and all you do is throw it up to him, he's either getting fouled or he's putting it in the basket for the game-winning shot.
Well, probably what happens is if you take that timeout, then Turgeon is going to say, all right, if this is what they do, do not switch the guard to the big man. Well, if that's the case, then Feliz is going to have a wide-open 12-footer.
Exactly.
Because the guard's going to get screened, so it's going to give it's going to give room, in other words, for Feliz. And then if Kofi starts to roll, I mean, if I'm the other coach, I'm definitely not taking a big man off Kofi because, as you said, he would abuse a guard. I would like to see, and he did it, and he's athletic enough, and I give him credit. He did it a couple of times where he caught the ball in the air and laid the ball up and made it. In the second half, he did it one time and missed it. And I thought to myself, I'd rather, I think, Kofi get the ball, keep it high, land on his foot, and then go up and just dunk it, right? I mean, if I could dunk,
that's
not
like the best case scenario, right? The one counterpoint to the plays, I will say, is what got Maryland the tie was a broken play that Callen just made a shot.
That's a good call.
And that's where Illinois, whether it's Io or Trent or Feliz or whoever it may be, has to be able to make a play.
Yeah.
Throughout that 12-minute stretch, you can't have two baskets. One of them was by Kipper.
Yeah.
The hand in his face in the corner.
It was a heck of a shot.
It was. You needed that one.
It did.
But someone's got to be able to step up and make a play. You got to beat someone off the dribble. You got to hit the pull-up jumper, whatever it may be. There's a lot of pressure on Underwood to put these guys in great situations. That's a coach's job.
Yep.
On the flip side, you also got to make plays.
Well, and it helps, and I think will help and would help if you'd have some threats on the outside. Because a lot of times what happens is defensively the other team has a guy on Trent and says, do not help. Do not help with this dude. You've got Trent. Suffocate him. And what have we seen? The last two games, the last 10 minutes of each game, Trent Frazier hasn't had a shot because they have essentially, both Miami and Maryland, both said, you are going to guard Trent wherever he's at and do not leave him to help. Do not do it. And the problem is some teams have two weapons. You'll see it tomorrow night. Michigan's got two weapons that can shoot from the outside. So you may have one guy that's going to stop Livers, but then your other guy helps, and then all of a sudden Xavier Simpson's wide open for three, and they can knock him down. So I think the more outside jumpers that are, you know, because, like, let's be honest, Felice, if Iowa's got the ball and he's dribbling down the middle, if you're guarding Felice, you're going to help stop ball, because even if the ball is kicked out to Felice from 16,
it's a 20-some percent three-point shooter.
That's exactly right. So, yet with Trent, now all of a sudden that percentage goes up to 40 or 50, and another coach is not going to take that. They're not going to take that chance with Trent having a wide open shot. They will with Felice.
Same with Georgie.
Yep.
Even though Georgie's percentages are good, he hasn't shown that he really wants to take that shot.
Nope.
He really doesn't.
Totally agree. And Iowa even this year. Now, I, as a coach, would not leave Io open. I don't think I would help off Io and give him a wide open look. I know we want more out of Io, especially jump shooting. And it seems like the more Illinois fans I talk to, that's the one thing that's driving them nuts more about Io than anything is the fact. I mean, the first thing out of their mouth is usually, oh, he's an NBA guy. Now, again, we all have to hope that Io is an NBA guy, because that's only going to make your program look good. It's going to make your coaching staff look good that they could develop an NBA guy. And we'd be happy for Iowa. I mean, let's be honest.
They're also connected to wins.
Boom.
If he's NBA good, you're going to be good as a team.
Amen. But the other thing immediately after that is I hear he doesn't have a jump shot. And, you know, but there's some truth to that, to where it needs to be better. I don't think there's any doubt that it needs to be better. Better whether or not you're going to be an NBA player, it just needs to be a better jump shot. So I think that's the risk. And so I guess the one thing I did like is the fact that Felice has the ball in his hands, because now he's going to try to work off that screen. And then basically whatever opposite guard is open when their man helps, then that's maybe the pass if he doesn't have the run to the rim. But I don't know. There again, right there, what I just explained. I just explained something that took me 2 minutes to explain, and they're doing it in 12 seconds. That's why I feel like take the anxiety out of it. Here's the play we're running, and run it. And if it works, it works. At least get a shot. At least get a shot.
You have to.
Well, and also, in my opinion, the idea that the reason why, and I'm not saying this is why they didn't call a timeout in that situation, but generally the reason why a team doesn't call a timeout in that situation is that you're keeping their defense off guard,
that's right?
Right. But not literally off guard, but just unbalanced. But the problem is, like, if I'm Maryland and I'm speaking to the mentality of Maryland, they just hit a 38-foot three. I don't think they could be more ready for this defensive possession. You know what I mean? Like in my mindset, if you're not calling the timeout because you think you have the mental edge to keep the game going, I don't understand how Illinois has the mental edge after seeing that deflating shot go in.
Yeah. No,
I'm on Illinois and I witnessed that shot by Cowan, I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not ready for a possession.
Well, they had just stopped you also. Since the 12-minute mark, they had stopped you on what, 80, 90% of your possessions?
Yep.
I think they have you figured out.
Oh, there's no doubt. That's a great point. That's a great point, Derek. And I feel like you're – okay, it's almost like bunting. Do you like the bunt or you don't, right? I mean, it is – you can go into a room, a bar full of guys, and be like, do you like the bunt? Oh, heck no. Or me would be like, heck yes, I love the bunt, what it does. I think you're either a call timeout late guy or you're not. And again, some coaches prefer not to, and it sounds like Underwood might be a guy that prefers not to, and he knows more basketball than I do, so maybe he thinks he can get, like you said, kind of get them off balance late in the game, but I don't think there's any doubt that maybe a timeout would have helped.
But the point is, whether you're on one side or the other, you got to be prepared and you got to get a shot up.
Yep.
So Miami and Maryland, you had the ball with what should have been the last possession with a chance to win and leave no time left on the clock, didn't get a shot up on either one.
That's almost – what would be the betting odds in Vegas? I'll turn to you, Trevor. What would be the betting odds in Vegas if I told you your team is going to be in a 1 or 2 point game the next two games coming down the wire, you're going to have the ball, what are the odds of getting two shots off, one shot off, or zero?
Well, I would even say just what are the odds that the other team doesn't touch the ball?
Right.
And you'd probably put it at, I don't know, somewhere between 90 and 95%, and then both times the other team ends up with the ball.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Can you wrap up? I know I lost the music. That was my fault.
This is Drive Time brought to you by Honda BMW Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy and online at drivechampaign.com.
Trent Frazier, we hear from him when we return. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampaign.com for a free estimate.
Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
When you have a reputation, you're really never going to get the benefit of any doubt. If you know a kid that never tells the truth, are you going to believe everything he says, or will you assume that perhaps some of his stories are fictional? Maybe you had someone in high school who cheated on tests and then somehow got a 98 on one. Do you assume he did that on his own, or do you believe maybe his eyes were looking at the next desk over? Welcome to being the Patriots. They have a reputation. So when a team, the Cincinnati Bengals in this case, says that, hey, we think a Patriots employee was filming our sideline at our last game, knowing that the Bengals are their next opponent, you tend to believe the Bengals. It's not like Spygate didn't happen. It did happen, and it spanned years. My point is this. Bill Belichick can stand at a podium and tell us all there was zero known wrongdoing with a camera in the Bengals sideline. But we can sit on our couch and doubt him because of reputation. In 60 seconds, why transferring pays.
No matter what team or sport you love, connect with it all on SiriusXM. Hear ESPNU and more in your car, on your phone, and at home when you subscribe now with packages starting at $5 per month plus fees. Get closer to every major league with play-by-play, expert analysis, and even fantasy sports coverage. Plus, ad-free music, comedy, entertainment, news, and more. Connect with what matters on SiriusXM. Visit SiriusXM.com/listen ESPN to learn more and subscribe. Channel lineup varies by package.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Another Power 5 quarterback just announced a transfer to another Power 5 school. Jake Bentley is leaving South Carolina to finish up at Utah. He started parts or all of four seasons for the Gamecocks. But why wouldn't he leave? Did you see who's going to New York for the Heisman ceremony this year? It was announced yesterday. Four players. Ohio State defensive end Chase Young, and then three transfer quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, who went from Ohio State to LSU. Justin Fields, who went from Georgia to Ohio State. And Jalen Hurts, who went from Alabama to Oklahoma. Three examples where playing time was not going in their favor, and they took a route that too many of us think was an easy out, showing weakness, we might say. You think it worked out for those guys? Look, I'm not saying Bentley will be up for the Heisman next year, but we have to be real careful to criticize quarterback transfers right about now, because I'm sure we'll all watch the Heisman ceremony. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Mower, car, ATV, boat, truck, weed eater. All of your toys has a battery in it, and you want to be able to get on without worrying if that machine is going to power up. Head Interstate All Battery Center in Champaign. They do batteries and will hook you up with the battery that will make your machine purr once again. So whether it's hitting the party cove in your boat, having the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood, hitting the backwoods, or going to work, Interstate Batteries will power you through the day and weekend. So head on in to Interstate All Battery Center in Champaign on Mattis Avenue.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
It's Rob's retirement sale at Framers Market. Yes, Rob DeLong is retiring after 38 years, and you benefit from it. Everything is 75% off this Saturday, 10 to 4, and Sunday, noon to 4. Pieces from the University of Illinois, John Lennon, glass art, Farm-Aid 1985, vintage and unique sculptures, and more. Talk about incredible Christmas gifts. Framers Market, Springfield and Prospect, Champaign. Full details at framersmarket.net.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Trevor is like enamored with something. So I'm going to let him keep watching that while Derek, while you and I talk. You spoke with Trent Frazier today, and, you know, Trent is, I asked you kind of, I guess, what's the thought on Michigan now? What's the thought on, you know, playing a team like Michigan that you talk about an Illinois team that doesn't feel good, right? Because the last few years haven't felt good, and Michigan's the opposite. The last 5 or 6 years have felt great, and they're 1-0 already in the Big Ten, and they're scoring at a high level. They're better than I think most of us thought. I mean, it's like a confrontation of two teams going the opposite way almost in terms of emotions.
True. It's also, though, an opportunity to change your direction drastically when you beat a top five team potentially on your home floor.
So
it's an opportunity to right the ship and get this thing going in the right direction. Of course, Michigan's a very, very tough team, and they can make you 6-4 and in a lot of trouble. And it's another challenge. Defensively, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Maryland did not shoot the three well. Before Cowan knocked that down, they were 7-for-30 from three.
And, of course, he makes that.
Right, he does. But Michigan is a team that is going to shoot it. At least they have been shooting it really, really well.
Yes.
Simpson's about 44% from three. Livers at 49. Eli Brooks at 49. David DeJulius off the bench at 40.
Whew. They can shoot.
So you gave Maryland some open look from three that you're not going to be able to get away with on Wednesday.
Illinois's got a good three-point shooter. Here he is, Trent Frazier.
Over that one possession loss.
I think it's focus. I think those last seconds, we haven't been in those moments like that in a while. So just, you know, just being prepared with those moments, you know, they don't happen often. So, you know, they're not always in the practice plan. But the biggest key for us is just focus and just really being dialed in and, you know, just our spots, places we need to be, timing, and, you know, just making the right play.
Coach talked about the pride he had in your effort against Maryland, you and the whole team. Is that something you walk away with proud in that kind of game, or is it the frustration of the loss?
Oh, the loss, I mean, we came out there, we fought. I thought we did a great job executing our game plan. We did everything, I mean, we were supposed to do. The ball just didn't go in, you know, those last few minutes. Guys, we've been in the locker room, you know, proud of what our team was that night. We did a great job, and, you know, they hit a miracle shot. So, I mean, there's nothing to be sad about. We play Michigan tomorrow, I mean, number three team. So, I mean, we got to let that one go and just be prepared to, you know, try to win this one.
Xavier Simpson, what's key to shut him out?
Great passer. So, you know, our biggest thing right now is just playing with hands. You know, being really, you know, handsy on defense, you know, trying to keep him out of the paint. And just forcing, you know, great miles, goals off our bigs, making them shoot tough shots.
Monte came into the starting lineup for Andres. Just talk a little bit about what that did for you guys, motivation-wise, and how you guys fared on the floor as a result of it.
Just adding more length. Monte has, you know, pretty big wingspan, so just having him out there with his aggressiveness, you know, he offers a rebounds, gets a lot of rebounds, and he guards, you know, taller guys, so, you know, coach made that adjustment. You know, I thought Dre did a hell of a job just coming off the bench, giving us some great minutes, you know, with the 10 ball on offense, guarding the ball, and those guys did great for us.
Trent, you're right there with number three. Do you like coming right back, taking on number four now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is Big Ten basketball. So, I mean, we got five teams ranked top 25 in this conference. You're going to play the best teams every night. So, even the teams at the bottom of the conference, they're one of the best. So, you know, we got to give it our all every night and just come out here being prepared like we're playing the number one team every night.
during those last shot moments, especially when you don't have a timeout, how ready do you feel like you guys are to execute what you want, or is that something you need to take a step forward in?
I think we did a great job with that. This, you know, these couple of days, you know, having a day off and then coming back, you know, just like I told them, you know, teams don't put, you know, late game, you know, they don't practice late game, you know, spots in practice. But Coach did a great job with that, you know, just getting guys, you know, ready for that. You know, we've had these different scenarios, different situations, down three, you know, up three, entire game. But I thought we did a great job with that, you know, just executing and just, you know, timing and being in the right positions and just making the right read.
You guys had a game, both teams scored under 60. Michigan just had a game against Iowa, both teams scored from 90. Is there a kind of game that you prefer? Would you rather have that high-scoring, high-octane game, or you like the boxing match with Maryland?
We want a rough-up game. You know, we don't want nothing easy. We want to fight for guys that are battling. We don't want nothing easy for teams. So, you know, just the physicality what we had the other night in Maryland, that's what we need to come out with, you know, tomorrow night. Just throwing punches at teams. I thought we did a great job of taking a punch from Maryland when they made their run. But this team, you know, we're moving along. I thought we did unbelievable that game. We're really happy where we're at. We're not going to let that loss affect us. We took a step forward, and, you know, just coming out here tomorrow just with that physicality and just throwing punches.
Speaking of that, how hard was it for you to get back in the game after taking that blow to the nose?
I mean, it's basketball. Yeah. I mean, that's like I said, the physicality of that game is unreal. So, you know, just I had to get back in there, you know. That game, you know, I wanted to be a part of that moment with my team. You know, just being out there fighting with these guys and just, you know, giving it all.
Trent, what can it do for this team for you when you just close out one of these close games for a conference football? What can it do to you guys?
It would be a win for us. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, just trying to get one of those close ones. We're playing really hard right now. We're getting better every day. And, you know, it's time. You know, we finally closed out one of those games. And still want playing against, you know, top five team in the country. And, you know, just continue to get better every day and just do what we do.
You do a lot of research. I know you watch a lot of film. Do you go back to any late game situations last year, whether it be at Ohio State or against Michigan State or at Northwestern, kind of for similarities? Do you do anything like that?
Nah, I mean, it's just based off, you know, different situations of the game. You know, coach have a lot of trust in all three guards. You know, and I have a lot of trust in Ayo and Dre. I know they got those guys going to make the right play. It comes up, you know, we didn't get missed shot, you know. And, you know, we continue to get better with that every day. Like I said, I trust these guys. And I trust anybody who take the game-winning shot, win or lose. And, you know, I'm always have their back for anything. So, you know, we try to, you know, try to keep it from those moments, you know, just fighting hard, you know, doing what we're supposed to do throughout the game. But if it comes down to that moment, you know, we got to be locked in and engaged and focused, you know, right in the right positions, timing, like I said, and spacing, you know, it has to be, you know, on point, and everybody has to be on the same page.
That is Trent Frazier, of course, Illinois junior guard, getting ready for Michigan, and of course talking about what they need to do and just to kind of battle back against Maryland. But it's not going to be easy with Michigan coming to town. And Derek, it is one of those deals where you just said it, you can't leave these guys open, because all of a sudden you'll have 4 out of 5 trips down the court where Michigan buries 4 out of 5 threes, timeout, you just gave up 12 points in 2 minutes, and it's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to crash the inside as much on this team. You're gonna have to guard the 3-point line, and it's gonna be a little more similar to the Miami game as far as defensive scouting report, in my opinion. And obviously Kofi mentioned, when we talked to him as well today, that John Teske's gonna be a big challenge. It's a large man, obviously 7'1", 265, but he can pick and pop, and you're gonna have to account for him to be able to go on the perimeter and be able to guard him wherever. So they have shooters, they have length, they have athletes. Xavier Simpson's a fantastic point guard. They really have it all, and Illinois is in for it tomorrow night.
All right, I got something for you here. When it pops, it'll pop. Oh, yeah! Are the Cubs going to trade Chris Bryant? I can't wait to hear Trevor talk about this. Are the Cardinals going to do anything? Maybe Mad Bum? when the boys come back, because I've got to sneak away to a basketball game. You guys are going to do a little next question MLB edition. A lot of stuff going on. Garrett Cole, when's that going to happen? It's going to happen soon, I think, during the winter meetings, now that Strasburg has signed. So when Derek and Trevor come back, a little Major League Baseball action. Of course, tomorrow we'll get you ready for Illinois-Michigan. We are live at Game Day Spirit. Now, we're on the Neal Street location.
Yes.
In the Neal Street, not
yep.
on. We're not going to be on.
Across from McDonald's. That'd be cool if we were on
yeah,
it, because we'd basically
cool.
be on the train tracks at that point.
Ooh, if it was warmer, I don't mind getting, like, kind of like you two did the one time with just starting a video on top of a liquor store back in the day. That's a true story. They're one of their videos. Can't remember the song. But, yeah, we will be at Game Day Spirit, Neal Street. Come join us tomorrow. All right, boys talk baseball next. It is The Drive.
Fly into the holiday season with Cardinals ticket packs. 5, 6, and 10-game ticket packs are on sale now and feature the season's top games and promotional dates. Choose from the opening day pack, the jersey pack, the bobblehead pack, weekend packs, and more. For a limited time, upgrade your pack to a premium pack to guarantee all-included promo items. Ticket packs start at just $54 and are on sale now. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday. St. Louis Cardinals, time to fly.
Fly into the holiday season with all-inclusive Cardinals tickets. All-inclusive tickets start at just $54 and feature a full buffet, complimentary bar, plus a great view of the game. Choose from the newly renovated Legends Club, the UMB Champions Club, Proficient Red Jacket Club, National Car Rental Club, and more. Give the gift of date nights, the gift of family time, the gift of Cardinals baseball. Get your single game all-inclusive tickets now at cardinals.com/holiday.
We're going bowling. Join the fight and get rewarded. The U of I Community Credit Union has the official credit card of the Fighting Illini. Don't have the Illini Visa yet? Apply today at IlliniCard.org and rewards cardholders for 10 times points on all U of I purchases. And new reward cardholders get 30,000 bonus points when you spend 3,000 in the first 90 days. An Illini bowl game means extra points for you on purchases made with your Illini Visa rewards card. Apply online at IlliniCard.org.
This is Santa Claus.
Santa, it's Mrs. Claus. You gotta stop sleeping on the job if you're going to get all those toys delivered on time.
Don't worry, Mrs. Claus. The elves are helping with the new cars we bought them.
Santa, we can't afford that.
That's where you're wrong, my darling. I took out each and every elf car loan at the U of I Community Credit Union. They're the number one local lender with rates right now as low as 2.49%. That's low, Mrs. Claus.
Sure is, Santa. Now get back to work.
From trimming the tree to shopping for the perfect gift, the holidays are busy. Simplify your life and your finances with innovative banking solutions from Busey. With the Busey mobile app, view balances, transfer funds, find one of our 25,000 MoneyPass ATMs, and deposit checks directly from your device. Enjoy the gift of convenience from Busey. Download the Busey mobile app today. Busey, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC.
Welcome into Reviews. This episode, we are focusing in on Luther Falls. Cammy, who gave a 5-star review, said, quote, I cannot say enough about the professionalism, dedication, workmanship, knowledge, prices, choices about this lovely and ever-growing family business. They installed a custom bathroom for us a few years ago, and we are repeat customers with our custom kitchen countertops this month. The countertops were absolutely beautiful, and the whole process was positive. Keep up the good work. You are all awesome. Go to LutherFalls.com for more details.
Financing now available.
The Fighting Illini are taking on California in the Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara, California. And Pia's, Duncan, and CVJ Travel giving you a chance to win a free trip for two to the game. That's right. You can win a trip for two to Santa Clara plus a year's worth of coffee from Duncan valued at $500. Be listening Monday, December 16th. Find out if you're our big winner. Don't miss this special opportunity to watch the Illini go bowling in an NFL stadium in beautiful, sunny California. Brought to you by Pia's, Duncan, and Stevie J Travel.
Standing up or standing out, that's simply what life's about. Flowers grow in sunshine when weeding gives them space, blooming in the sunlight and warmth of nature's grace. This holiday season, spread joy with flowers from the Blossom Basket Florist, Cunningham Avenue in Urbana, and at the Crossing in Champaign. Or call 367-ROSE.
Sweet, turn your feelings into flowers. The Blossom Basket Florist.
Hi, I'm Javier.
Habib, this year's Live to Lead was the best one ever. So we're hosting an encore presentation of the exact same program on Tuesday, December 10th at 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the I Hotel. John Maxwell, Angela Arendt, Marcus Buckingham of Strength Finder, Chris Hogan, and Rachel Hollis of Girl Wash Your Face. They rock the house. Don't miss this opportunity. Bring your team, bring your spouse, bring a friend. It'll be an amazing program that you won't forget. Buy your tickets at HabibHabib.com.
Hey, Joe, you got that spreadsheet for me?
Yeah, 1 second, Larry. Let me pull it up. Where'd it go?
Hey, I'm going to need that spreadsheet ASAP, Joe.
Yeah. Sure, Larry. Just 1 second. It's gone. Everything's gone. My emails, my spreadsheets, my fantasy football league.
This is Joe. Don't be like Joe. Give Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign a call at 359-8041. They'll make sure your work setup is secure and running smoothly. Then you won't be in a situation like Joe.
It's the Jeremy Warner Show. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11. Right here on ESPN 93.5.
It's the Drive. Derek Piper alongside Trevor Police. Been a basketball-heavy show today. It's been good.
What's up, Derek?
Oh, what's going on, man?
Not much.
So, something we both want to hit on here.
I'm just trying to comprehend something I just heard. That's all.
Okay. So, I was at media availability today. Brandon had a press conference. He was asked about the timeout. And there's been a lot of talk about getting an answer from Brad on why he used the timeout. Not only not during the last possession, which he didn't address, but in between the two free throws, which then the clock ran out on Felice's attempt.
Right. I don't even think it would have counted if it had gone in.
Right. So why didn't you wait to use after the miss, call a timeout? Here's what Brad had to say.
My mistake in that was not taking the administrative technical. And I wanted to make sure, because you basically have a catch and shoot. And when you can't get set up, okay, he's going to miss the free throw. You can't get set up. You've got it's a broken play. And I should have probably taken the administrative technical because I wanted our guys to know he was going to miss it. And then we had to get to spots. We got the ball to Dre at half court on a quick outlet and a heave. And that's basically what you're going to get. Don't call it. Second runs off. Now you're at 1.2. Probably should have taken the administrative technical. I wanted our guys to be aware of what we were doing when I saw them signal that they were going to miss it. They only get one free throw. You get the timeout and then you get the ball back. And if I had it to do all over again, it wouldn't be the timeout. It would be that I didn't take the administrative technical and call another one.
So in layman's terms, the administrative technical is essentially the Chris Webber technical. Call a timeout when you don't have one. Earlier in the clip, he says that Mark Turgeon was telling Cowan miss the free throw, and it was apparently not able to be communicated from Illinois' bench to, hey, grab the rebound, call a timeout. We're going to call a timeout and talk about it.
Right. So if we break down that clip, he says that he wanted to call the timeout then because he wanted to let his guys know that Maryland was going to miss on purpose.
And that they should call a timeout after the miss.
Right. And absorb the technical free throw that Maryland would then presumably make to make it 60-58.
And then you get the ball back.
But that is also presuming that the official recognizes that you're calling a timeout. Because there's about, say he misses it, right? There's like 2.1 on the clock, I think. And then you immediately call for the timeout, whoever rebounds it. That's assuming that with about 1 second left on the clock, whichever referee is closest is going to recognize not only did you call timeout and get it called in time, but then also that the technical needs to be assessed because you don't have a timeout remaining. I'm sorry, but none of that makes any sense to me. I mean, he could have very easily come out and said that my mistake was calling the timeout in between free throws instead of after the second one.
Yes.
And if his reasoning for not calling the timeout after the second free throw is that he was worried his guys weren't going to know that Maryland was going to miss, then I don't know what to say because I think that speaks to a deeper level of ineptitude on this team if they don't recognize that Maryland's going to miss that free throw.
Right. Part of the argument maybe for taking that timeout then would be, well, the time's going to run off after the miss anyway. We might as well just heave something up.
Right.
But if your explanation is we should have taken a extra timeout that would have gotten us a technical, time's still running off on the rebound. You might as well just told your guys from the sideline, told one guy,
right,
he's going to miss. grab the rebound, call a timeout.
But, like, even if you told nobody, right, and he missed, it's not like they're all just going to stare at the ball and no one's going to grab it and go, oh, I didn't know he was going to miss. Like, your instinct as a basketball player is to grab a miss regardless of whether or not you know it's coming.
Yeah, you would have hoped that that was a situation. Again, you're wondering how prepared this team was in late games.
Right, like, well, what does that speak to, that their late game preparedness, that he has to call timeout to remind them that when there's 1 second left in a game and a team is shooting a free throw, they're likely going to miss on purpose. Like, they should know that. Yeah. It feels a little bit like after a football game, or like during a football game, an announcer, a team's down 14 with a minute left, and the announcer goes, well, they've still got a shot. If they get a touchdown, get the onside kick, get the ball back, get another touchdown, get the onside kick. It's like you're jumping through like 20 hoops trying to play chess over checkers. And like, I suppose his explanation is technically valid, but I just, it seems like you're just trying to do this, like I said, like this galaxy brain level thing, right, where you're like, well, then we do this and this and this, and then when this happens, and ultimately the difference between calling the timeout and getting the technical and then getting the ball back and then just calling the timeout after the missed free throw would have been what, like 0.2 seconds? I mean, I don't think there would have been a big difference there either way.
Right.
I'm sorry. I had to play that.
I know.
I just made no sense. I mean, you can't speak to it like I can, but as a fan, that makes zero sense to me. I don't understand what he's
saying. Well, he was explaining it, and some people in the room were like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess. So that's what you wish you would have done. And I was like, that doesn't really add up. I don't think. I don't think it makes sense.
I'm sorry. I don't understand that at all.
So.
Anyways, let's move on to baseball. I just wanted to play that real quick. Do we have baseball music on here? Not really.
Ron just played something before the break. I don't know where he found it.
He's good at finding. Let's try that.
That's what it was.
There we go. All right, so we're going to do next question, but then Lon bailed. So I figured it'd be better to just kind of structure it bullet point by bullet point.
That's fine.
First of all, Steven Strasburg signs yesterday. That's a $245 million deal to stay with the Nats. A
lot of dough.
My theme with these pitching guys is that I would never pony up for this kind of money, especially with Strasburg. I understand Cole because he's younger, but I think Strasburg is 31, and he's had a litany of injury issues.
Right.
Now, obviously, when he's on, he's one of the best in the game. So I'm not saying don't sign him because he's had injury issues in the past. He didn't this year, and he was fine. But I don't know. That's so much money, and I think it was 8 years to remain in D.C.
It's a lot of years for a pitcher that's had injury problems in the past.
I just don't see how a 39- or 40-year-old Steven Strasburg, if he's even still pitching by then, is going to be playing well enough for the Nationals to go, that was a great deal.
Yeah. It's also hard to win your first World Series and then let the World Series MVP walk away. So I understand that part of it.
Yeah, and they were going to sign one of Rendon or Strasburg probably, and they chose Strasburg.
Yeah, and go pitching heavy and still have Strasburg and Scherzer at the top with Corbin and Sanchez and figure out another bat, essentially.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just 3 or 4 years from now when they have a Lester, Quintana, Hamels, Lackey situation that the Cubs have run into in recent years. I don't know if they're going to be loving that move. I would rather opt for the bat, but I understand World Series MVP is going to be really effective.
Yeah, and we mentioned it yesterday. As far as getting into those late years of a pitcher's career, Verlander seems like the only example where that is maybe been okay.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been more than okay. He had a weird career resurgence in Houston, but other than that, I mean, I said Hamels, he's been fine. He was fine for the Cubs last year, but it's not like he would have been worth the $18 million that they were paying him with that qualifying offer. So,
right.
I don't know. Personally, I would stay away from those $300 million 10-year guys, even with Gerrit Cole, who we'll hit on in a second. Like, he's really good, and we'll hit on him right now. The asking price, I guess, is over $300 million
at this point.
Which,
nuts.
Like, I understand that from a strictly war value perspective, that is pretty much a fair ask, because Harper sets the market, Machado sets the market, Stanton set the market. Like, I get that. But it's just, if he signs a 10-year, $300 million deal, I have no reason to believe that 42-year-old Gerrit Cole in 10 years is going to be anywhere near worth the amount that he's getting paid that year.
It's hard to, it's really with all these. I mean, Bryce Harper, how's he going to be 10 years down the road? Machado, you understand, there's an understanding that you're probably going to not like this deal in the latter half or even the latter third. But if Gerrit Cole is a certified, top two or three pitcher in baseball for 5 years of that contract, 6 years of that contract.
You're right. There, most people would be admitting with this deal that we know the back end isn't going to be great, but we're basically paying this price, which makes it even more ridiculous. We're basically paying this price for the next 4 years of Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
And, I have a bit of trepidation with him, honestly, because before Houston, he kind of stunk. He was really good with the Pirates for 1 year. Mm-hmm. He was really mediocre and sometimes bad with the Pirates for 2 years. He gets traded to Houston, and he's suddenly really good again. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be really good with whichever team he goes to, but there's enough trepidation with both Strasburg and Cole for me that I would personally, if I were GM, would not pony up $300 million for either of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's just my opinion.
It's going to be interesting.
Next up, several reports indicate that a Chris Bryant trade will be a when, not an if. That was from John Heyman today. I have mixed feelings about this one because, on the one hand, I understand that the Cubs are going to need to do something, and they're apparently out of money, even though they have the third highest payroll. I continue to not understand that one. In terms of, I understand that they have spent money in the past, but I don't understand why they can't just continue to spend money. I mean, you know, you cite the Yu Darvish contract, Jason Hayward contract. I get that's a lot of money, but, like, they continually make that much money, so there's no reason they can't continually spend that much money. I mean, they're just as valuable other than the Yankees as any other team in baseball, and if the Phillies are going to spend stupid money every single year, the Cubs should be able to spend stupid money every single year, and I'm not necessarily even asking them to, but this idea that, well, we have to unload either Bryant or Contreras or Schwarber because our hands are tied and we won't be able to sign them to a long-term deal next year is frustrating from a fundamental perspective for me as a fan, because it's like, well, what was the plan here then? Like it seems like there is no long-term vision yet because they're going to have to trade all their long-term assets to stay afloat. And in the middle of a championship window, that is maddeningly frustrating for me.
Are you still in a championship window if you trade Chris Bryant?
Fair question. Obviously, it depends on the return, but...
Would you want the return to be more of a long-term...
Yes, you're saying like a really A-plus prospect?
A prospect or just someone at the major league level that maybe isn't a star, but that has quite a few years of control.
Yeah. The only deal that I would see and go, that makes sense in the short term and the long term, and it makes a ton of sense for the Cubs, would be a controllable young starting pitcher. Like, I know Jeremy mentioned this morning, if the Rays traded a Brendan McKay, who's one of the top prospects in baseball, was actually really good at the major league level last year and is 21 with 6 years of control. Like, that makes sense because that's going to be an area of need that needs to be addressed now. And the younger, you need an overhaul on your pitching staff pretty soon because it's not getting any younger with Lester and Quintana at the top of that rotation. I would understand that, but I'm just wholeheartedly opposed to trading any of these guys. I say, why, you know, I guess what I mean is the mindset has somehow become, well, you have to trade one of these young studs just because. And I'm sitting here going, well, why? Why is that like a predisposed notion that you have to trade one of these guys? Why can't I just have my cake and eat it too?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why one of these guys has to leave.
It's interesting to see the reports that the losers, essentially, of the Rendon and Donaldson sweepstakes are now going to be targets to trade to those teams. But the one wrench in this, we're going to have to wait and see how many years does Bryant have left until his free agency because of that dispute?
Right, so there's the grievance hearing. He'll either have one or two. If it's one and he wins the grievance and it changes from 2-1, that really hurts you.
That hurts your return.
That hurts your return, and it hurts you if you don't want to pay for him next year. Because say that hurts your return, you can't get a trade done, then this season comes and goes and you got to pay him, or you let him walk. I understand that you want to recoup something for him that, other than letting him walk, but my point is, why do you have to let him walk? Just pay your stud. He's one of the best Cubs players ever.
Right.
And the same thing goes for Contreras, who I might like more, given his premium position. He's cheaper, he's younger, he has more years of control, and he's at a more premium position than Chris Bryant is. And honestly, he's played better than Chris Bryant over the last 2 years in terms of WAR and stats. So, to me, yes, we can go back and forth on these hypothetical deals, and you can probably name one where I go, okay, that's a fair return for a young, controllable starter. But in the back of my mind, I'm just going, I'd rather not do any of this, and I don't understand why my hand is being forced.
Dakota Hudson.
Ooh. I'd listen to that.
We could use a third baseman. We'll throw in Matt Carpenter. No, you can't. You can't take on that money.
Nope, we can't. All right. We can't pay anybody. I don't know how Maroon 5 is even performing at Wrigley this year. Maroon 5 is probably going to pay for either Contreras or Bryant alone with their concert money this year.
Makes sense.
Over to the Cardinals real quick. They've been brought up in the Madison Bumgarner sweepstakes a little bit.
Just learned that he's not like 35.
Yeah, because when I saw this, it says that he's wanting at least 5 or 6 years and $100 million plus. And I thought, that is so dumb. Isn't he like a 38-year-old? He's 30. I mean, yeah. He has good years left in the tank. Yeah.
I know he had a career-high ERA last year, 3.9. And then the two seasons before that were injury shortened.
Yeah.
Not the same pitcher, of course. Then again, if you are going to get in the postseason, I love having him. At your disposal.
Yep.
I'm just happy that the Cardinals are attached to somebody. Kind of feels good.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know, though. I'm hearing Braves for him quite a bit.
Yeah, the Braves are in on a lot of different guys. They're going to be one of those teams that dictates a lot of different things, I think, as we go through this. But it is interesting with Bumgarner because he's one of those names that you think, well, Madison Bumgarner. But he's also one of those examples of a guy that got so overworked in a few postseasons that he hasn't really been as effective since.
True. And we'll have one of those in our bullpen. So, Anthony.
Fair enough.
I call him Anthony Miller. It's wide receiver from the Bears. Andrew Miller. Yeah.
And the Cubs had Brandon Morrow. Similar circumstance there after the Dodgers killed him in the postseason. Quickly, the Didi Gregorius signed with the Phillies.
Yep.
The Brewers were interested in him, so I think we'll both count that as a win. The Brewers didn't add. The Brewers have lost a lot. They've lost 14 guys from their wild card team.
And might trade Josh Hader. Is that still on the table?
Yep. Although, honestly, I kind of like that for them because he didn't look that great, but go ahead.
I've heard that Ozuna possibly to the Reds.
Ozuna to the Reds. Can the Reds stop? Oh, my goodness. The Brewers annoy me, but the Reds are going to start to really annoy me.
Yeah.
We got to get Dan Hartlib on here and explain himself.
They're the only buyers in the whole division.
I'm annoyed because they should be doing that, like as they should.
Yeah.
It's a wide-open division, I think. They could finish second or third. I don't see why not.
Castillo, Sonny Gray.
Yeah, and they got the offense. I mean, Votto and Suarez on the infield. I mean, they have really, really good players. Yeah.
Nick Senzel. They're annoying. All right. Good show. We got to thank Jamal and Rebecca Walker again for coming in, talking to us about athletes versus epilepsy. If you want to get involved, go to athletesversusepilepsy.com and search Team Walker. We'll talk more about Illinois versus Michigan tomorrow, the number 5 team in the country coming to town. Until then, this is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.